Hello there, and I want to say a good welcome to you. I want to thank you actually for setting aside time to actually watch this video today. I hope you'll find it helpful. Its purpose is to help you, to help us in our relationship with God. So I do hope that is the case for you, but thank you for setting aside the time to start with. It's good for us to do that. Today is the second in our series called Let Hope Arise, and today we're going to be looking at hope that energizes today and tomorrow. Now, first, before I get into it, really, I want to say that however you're watching this, whatever time of day you're watching this, wherever you are, whatever sort of experience you've been through, whatever sort of mood you find yourself in, whatever you're feeling, whatever you've spoken, whatever your actions have been, I want to tell you that God sees good potential in you. God sees good potential in you. And that's an amazing fact when I think that God sees good potential in me. That is encouraging. Particularly encouraging, because it's a crazy time right now, isn't it? We're living through a worldwide pandemic, and we've experienced lockdown that we've never experienced before. And then there's things going on in the world as well, and something that sort of has been quite a focus this week has been all the racial tensions that have arisen, through injustice and unhelpful attitudes of people and actions. And in a sense, I find it quite disturbing. And it's times like this that we do say, don't we, well, what's going on? What? It's crazy. What is going on? So today we're going to go back into the Old Testament, into I guess another crazy time, where the people of God would have been saying, "What's going on? What sort of mess are we in? What's going on?" So we're going to go back into the book of Jeremiah. So grab your Bible and find the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to be looking at chapter 29, part of chapter 29. And we're going to be looking at God's word to his people. Remember, it's his word. It's not just to a cluster of people, but it's to a whole nation. So let the magnitude of that just sink into your mind for a moment. And just consider that actually this nation has actually been wrenched from their homes. And they've been taken captive and they're now living in exile. Okay? So their whole way of life has been uprooted. Their securities, their normal way of doing things, their normal behaviour has been turned upside down. And they find themselves now in the land of Babylon, which is in excess of 1600 miles away from, if you like, their home capital city of Jerusalem. I don't exactly know how they got there. If they followed the natural terrain, they would have walked up and down through valleys, which would probably journey would have been something, I don't know, heading toward 2000 miles. And they've gone there against their will. They've been taken, they're captive. Their national identity is under threat. So can you imagine them saying, "What is going on? What is going on?" And then we have the prophet Jeremiah who speaks into the situation. I remember Jeremiah has also lived through the siege of Jerusalem. He's lived in a war zone. He's actually been feeling quite isolated. He's been misunderstood. His life has been threatened. In actual fact, he ends up being taken into captivity and carted off to Egypt. So it's not been easy for him, but he remains close to God. He's God's man, and he prophesies the word of God to his people. So let's have a look at Jeremiah 29. And imagine that you're in exile. Imagine you're one of the people of God here, that this has been written to you. So imagine what you've been through. Imagine your difficulties and struggles. You now are beginning to assess your life. So just at verse 1, just to place it really. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, so that's the setting for it. So now we're going to jump down to verse 10. So we'll pick it up at verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Wow. See, what's been going on, actually, if you just know your biblical history a little bit, is that God's people had been living in the promised land, in the land that God had promised for them, the land flowing with milk and honey. They had been living a secure, comfortable life. It was a fertile region, so it was prosperous. And they were set up for years to come. They had a fantastic heritage to draw upon and recall. So what went wrong? How come they're now in exile? Quite simply, they began to compromise their relationship with God. You see, they would turn up at the temple, if you like, on a Sunday. They'd go to church, if you like, on a Sunday, and they would appear to worship God. But then at other times of the week, they would almost do the opposite of that, and they would accommodate the practices of the Canaanite gods that were still in the region where they were. So that meant that they began to practice idolatry and adultery. And the leaders, you think about this, the leaders of the church, if you like, had become corrupt. So the leaders were not fit to lead. And they become so corrupt that this resulted in social injustice. Social injustice, you know, throughout the nation. So you can see the mess that they were in. And what is particularly saddening in the sense is that the preceding chapters in Jeremiah, many of the preceding chapters in Jeremiah, Jeremiah's been warning God's people that they're living in a way that damages their relationship with God. And they've even allowed false prophets to speak, even just a couple of verses before that, it tells us that. So they've been living in a way that has been damaging to their relationship to God. And when I sort of thought about that, it made me wonder, and I thought, well, do we live sometimes in a way that damages our relationship with God. You know, it's easy for us, even in the Western world in one sense, to feel secure and to live a comfortable life. But do our lifestyles, our lifestyle and our values, do they actually get compromised just because we're so comfortable? So do we allow things to come in, actually compromise our relationship with God? Up to a point, you see, I can identify with these Old Testament people. I don't know whether you can, but up to a point I can. And there's times when I allow things to come in that actually aren't helpful to my walk with God. You know, they, in a sense, challenge our priorities, don't they? I've seen people in the past that have, in a sense, had a relationship with God or got a good relationship with God, but they've allowed things to compromise that. And it starts very small to start with, but you can see it sort of almost ramp up and you can see them get more and more distant from God. And Jeremiah had been warning the people of God that this was what was happening to them. And he was warning them that that would lead to God's judgment. So here it is now. They're in exile. And now they begin to get concerned. Life is not going to plan. And that's a big, big learning point for them. It's a learning point for us as well. See, it's not about their plans. It's not about your plan. It's not about my plan. But it's about God's plan. Remember, this word is to a nation. It's not to an individual at this moment. And when you look at the text again that we've just looked at, God is central. God refers to himself as I. He says, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise. For I know the plans I have for you. I will hear you. I will be found by you. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. God refers to himself as I 10 times in that passage. It's interesting. When you think about Old Testament prophetic words, there's usually two specific points to them. You know, they speak into the present situation and they also speak into the future. It's a bit like looking at Twin Peaks, two mountaintops, shall we say. And often when you're you can only see the first mountaintop very often, because you'll see a mountaintop, a peak, and because that is in your field of vision and that's what you're focused upon and it's your current situation, what you fail to see, or what maybe you can't see, is that further on there's another peak. It's as if the first one obscures the second one, okay? And it's like a short-term view and a long-term view, and that's often the case with these prophetic words. And God has a short-term view for us, and he has an eternal view for us. And it's useful to be aware of that perspective. You see, the people of God were very focused upon themselves at this point in time. And it's important, really, just to shift that a little bit and to learn that point. God is saying it's not about you. It's not about them, but it's about God's plans. And you know what? He wants us, he wanted them to actually align themselves with his plans and join in with them. Have you ever stopped to consider that God has plans? Yeah, God has plans. You see, by nature, we are very much, you know, I want to do this. I want to go there, I want to see this, I want to get that. I want this, that. We need to stop and say, God, What have you got planned? And we need to shift our attitude and change it and say, well, actually, could I join in with your plans? Incidentally, that's a definition for the mission for the church, to find God's plan and then to join in with it. But if only God's people at that Old Testament time had sought God and adhered to his plans, life would have been so much better for them. It's so easy to compromise our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but coming out of lockdown, as we're beginning to sort of move out of lockdown a little bit now, my head is already beginning to get busy with my plans. Oh, I could do this, I could do that. And I feel a big spiritual, no, God roaring over us, God roaring over our church and saying, no, consider my plans, consider my plans. Ask God and seek him. I mean, just look back at those verses. In verse 12 and verse 13, towards the end, it says, come and pray to me. I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all my heart. What a wonderful place to be in, is to be aligned with God's plans and to operate and function in a way that he wants us to do that. It's a good principle to grab hold of. We're not to go back to, in a sense, to life before lockdown when we were busy with other things. I know naturally there are things, practical things we have to do, but I can just consider our walk with God and our relationship with God and see what changes we want to ensure remain, you know, that where we align ourselves with his plans and purposes. I spoke, I don't know if you can remember, but I spoke on the first, you know, to us as a church, I spoke on the first week that we went into lockdown. And we were looking at Mark's Gospel at the time. And I spoke on the Transfiguration in Mark's Gospel, where Jesus goes up a mountain with Peter, James and John. And there's a bright light and Jesus is transfigured before them. And God spoke into that situation and his audible voice was heard. I don't know whether you can remember what God spoke. It's actually in Mark chapter 9 if you want to look it up. But God said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Did you hear that? Did you hear that instruction? Are we still listening to God? Or are we busy making our own plans? Now, this is not about trying to make us feel guilty about things, but this is about encouraging you with a God-given hope that actually he's has plans that he wants us to join in with and participate in. And if you just turn over the page in your Bible to chapter 31, a couple of pages perhaps, and you begin to look at verses, chapter 31 in Jeremiah, verses 31 to 34. There's a whole section there where Jeremiah prophesies the word of God again, and it's about the new covenant. And in verse 31, partway through there, verse 31 says, he said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He says, I will make a new covenant. So just fast forward now into the New Testament, and we have Jesus came to earth. He's the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on the cross, and yet he had done nothing wrong. God demonstrates his power and resurrects him. He raises him to life, and Jesus ascends to be with the Father in heaven. See, when Jesus was on that cross, when he died on that cross, it's like I always think of it like a transfer that took place. He took on board Sin. Lock, stock and barrel, he took on board all of sin. So he represented all of our sin, all of our wrong ways, all of our compromises. And this transfer, in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. So he gave us his sinful, his sinlessness. So when God looks at us, he sees righteousness and goodness. Do you remember right at the beginning I said, God sees the good potential in you. That's what he sees in you. And in verse 34 of this bit in Jeremiah we're looking at in chapter 31, at the end it says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. We are now living under the new covenant. That means we don't have to go into exile. We don't have to live in exile. We don't have to exist in a foreign land. We don't have to exist where we're not supposed to be. We can reside at home. We can reside with God the Father. So this is an encouragement. Don't be like the Old Testament people of God that are recorded here. Don't compromise or ruin or frustrate God's plans through our actions and attitudes. But surrender your heart to God and enjoy this new relationship that the Bible calls a new covenant relationship with God. And in one sense, it's real easy to make that change. In one sense, you can just take that first step in that relationship with God quite simply by talking to him, quite simply by praying to him. And you can just tell him, you can acknowledge that your plans, your lifestyle, the things that you've done have actually been priority to you and not to him. And you can change that now. And you can join in with his plans and align yourself to what he wants to do. So you can just tell him that. And say, I want to join in with the way that you want me to live. And I'd encourage you to do that if you've never done that before. And, you know, some of us who have been walking with God for many years, we'll be doing that as well because we recognise compromise in our lives at times. And we don't want that. We don't want that because we want to align ourselves with God's plans. The benefits are huge. They're tremendous. A land flowing with milk and honey. Why would you want to give that up? Why would you want to go against God's plans? So I would encourage you just to evaluate where you are with that and take some action. See, being a Christian is not about rules and regulations, but it's about a heart condition. And in verse 33 of that little section it says, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wow. It's as if there's a move from the old covenant rules and regulations of things written on tablets of stone to a new relationship that's actually placed on our hearts. And that's something that we could enjoy, we can enjoy now. We can have the benefit of life with God now and the promise of eternity of God in his kingdom. And when we put it into that context, flick back to chapter 29 where we started and look at verse 11. It's often taken out of context, you see. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is a God that looks at you and sees the good potential in you. God gives us hope for today and tomorrow. It is through Jesus that we find hope that energizes today and tomorrow. I'm just going to pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you that you see the good potential in each one of us. Holy Spirit, would you help us not to compromise our walk with you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in exile. And I thank you, Lord, that we can join in with your plans for our lives. Father, would you help us align ourselves with you right now? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.